Good evening and welcome to the October 1st, 2024 Kitsap County Planning Commission meeting. Thank you for your presentation, for your participation. We will begin with introductions on my right.
Jonathan Tudan, South Kitsap.
Good evening, Richard Shattuck from Central Kitsap.
Alan Beam, Central Kitsap.
Aaron Murphy, North Kitsap.
And then online.
Stacey Smith, representing South Kitsap.
Thank you.
And Stephen Bowe, Central Kitsap.
And I'm Joe Phillips from North Kitsap. Commissioner Kaltenbarn will be unable to attend tonight. And the other North Kitsap commissioner position is vacant at this time. The hybrid meeting protocols. Please silence all electronic devices during the meeting. If attending in person, please refrain from conversation with others to allow a clear, audible recording of the meeting. Public comments. For those wishing to comment, please state your name and general area of the county that you reside in when you begin your comments. There are four options available. For those in attendance, you can raise your hands to indicate that you wish to speak, and the chair will recognize you, and you can come up to the podium to speak. Those attending via Zoom can click on the raised hand feature to indicate they wish to comment. Your name will be called and your link will be unmuted. Phone attendees can dial *9 to indicate they wish to comment. The last four numbers of your phone number will be called and your number will be unmuted. You may need to press *6 to unmute your phone. The final method is to provide written comments to the staff at awalston@kitsap.gov. by 2 p.m. the day of the meeting. Written comments should include date of the meeting the comments are meant for, the commenter's name, the general area of residency, agenda item or subject you are addressing. Public comments are limited to two minutes. The time is adjustable at the chair's discretion. Okay. For the adoption of the agenda, it should be noted that we will not have any meeting minutes to be adopted tonight. And if there are no objections, we will adopt the agenda as presented. Okay, so adopted. Hearing none, the agenda is adopted. Okay. That brings us to our first general comment period. And let me get to my screen. And Mr. David Jones.
This is Dave Jones. I live in Silverdale off of Anderson Hill Road. My comment is concerning the Anderson Hill Road corridor safety study. I understand it was supposed to be done last year and was delayed or canceled. So the question is, when is it going to be rescheduled? Because we have additional building that's going on Dickey Road and Apex Road, and those developments are going to empty into Anderson Hill Road. So we are allowing new building to go ahead without a study determining what the infrastructure needs to be. And the Anderson Hill Road corridor from Buckland Hill to Olympic View has had no major infrastructure improvements in 32 years since I've been here. And if we continue to allow building, the traffic's going to get even worse. We now have a request application for Project S42 LLC, which is a multi-unit apartment complex on Old Frontier Road. Those apartments are going to empty, some of the traffic is going to empty into the Anderson Hill Road corridor. That project should be moved down Greaves Way opposite the trails. You have a new intersection down there, empties right into the highway. This is just, without the traffic study, the safety study, we're stuck. We're just putting more traffic on the Anderson Hill Road corridor. We're not doing anything to change that. We should be collecting impact fees from builders and developers who are building along Dickey Road and Apex. Where's the money? Traffic light for Apex and Anderson Hill Road has been delayed for at least 2 years. So again, where's the money? Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your comments. Our next commenter is Mr. Palmer.
I'm presuming you can hear me now.
Yes.
I wasn't able to attend the meeting last week, and I understand there was a discussion about boundary line adjustments and the proposal to amend Title 16. I have been in opposition to the county adopting any regulations affecting boundary line adjustments for more than 20 years. I have not changed my mind. We don't need any local regulations. The State Subdivision Act has got adequate provisions in it to cover boundary line adjustments, and that's been true for as long as I've been in the county, which is well over 40 years. The problem with boundary line adjustments, all planning departments seem to think they have to review things that they don't. And when they do have ordinances that cause boundary line adjustments to be reviewed, take anywhere from 6 months to a year to approve a boundary line adjustment. In Kitsap County, we can do it in whatever time it takes the county to prepare the the surveyor to prepare the legal descriptions and file for record in the auditor's office. As I said, the RCW also has plenty of guidelines in place for those to be boundary line adjustments to be approved without local approval. And I don't know why this subject keeps coming up, but there's no need for it. I'll have more to say. If you want it in writing, I can put it in writing. But it's a mistake to do it. Every jurisdiction that's done it has created a problem for the people in their jurisdiction. And if you want me to go through the list of jurisdictions that have done it, Pierce County is an example. It takes a year to get a boundary line adjustment. That's insane. Planning departments do not need to review it.
Okay. Thank you for your comment, Mr. Palmer. Next, we have Gail Campbell Ferguson. Ms. Ferguson, are you there?
Okay, yes, I am. Can you hear me now?
Okay.
Sorry.
Yes.
Pushed the wrong button. My name is Gail Campbell Ferguson. I live on Sirocco, which is off Anderson Hill. I go along and really agree with what David Jones said about the traffic situation. It's already bad. I can't imagine how much worse it's going to be if the apartment complex goes up on Frontier. 430, but six or eight apartments is going to bring in a couple of what, 1,000 people and a couple thousand more cars into that intersection. It's going to be extremely difficult. My concern is also about the hospital. The hospital, if you need to go to the ER, is already, it's a long wait period to be seen. My husband and I are in our 70s. We need access to medical care without a 6 hour plus wait to get served. And my husband has been in the hospital now every year, at least once or twice. So I think the care there is terrific, but the load on the hospital is too much, and adding additional people, I think we need to take that into consideration as well. So the bottom line is basically, I understand that moving forward and sometimes expansion is necessary, but I think in our area, but sometimes I think we really need to look at the impact of not only the roads, not only the schools, but also the medical system, and make sure that it can accommodate not only the additional population, but fully accommodate the population that is already here. That's the end of my comment.
Okay, thank you for your comments. And not seeing anyone else, I will not seeing anyone else wishing to speak at this time, I will close this period, and we will go to our item F, deliberation recommendation of the 2024 comprehensive plan update. And Mr. Baker, if you could start.
Thank you very much. For the record, my name is Eric Baker. I'm the Deputy County Administrator for Kitsap County. Greatly appreciate all the time the public has put into the comprehensive plan update process. This has been 2 years in the making. Planning Commission has been riding along the entire time. I greatly appreciate all of your efforts to date. We had a public hearing on the draft documents that were released on August 30th last week. We received a certain amount of testimony. There was definitely some highlights to that testimony. And also we have collected testimony that has been received on these documents since August 30th. All of that has been posted on the website, and I believe has also been available to the Planning Commission. Tonight is largely to begin deliberations on what are some very, very large documents with a lot of content to them. We have received, again, a good number of comments that have focused on some specific areas. Not nearly as many people have attended this meeting as previous meetings. A lot of those, likely, they felt that their issues had been addressed in the past. To kind of help with deliberations, staff has kind of gone through all the public comment that was taken orally and in writing since the release of the documents on the 30th. And kind of picked up the big ticket items that have been requested, especially if they are specific to particular code elements, and especially if they're specific to particular topics, such as the boundary line adjustment code and tree canopy retention. So the document that you have before you is a kind of a synthesis of a number of these comments and concerns, staff's recommendation on them where appropriate. And the idea being is that through conversations tonight, the Planning Commission can determine which of these they would like to have part of their consideration when we come back on October 15th. You aren't really being asked to make any up or down decisions on this. When staff is asking questions, what we really mean is, would you like to see them in this matrix for your consideration on the 15th? Some of the language may work out just fine for the Planning Commission. Some may require some tweaks. What we want to do is make sure that we have all the information necessary to bring to you on the 15th, in which case then we can go through all the motions in a sequential manner. Today is probably going to be a lot more kind of back and forth conversation on things, and we want to make sure we don't lose any motions or we make the process any more complicated than it has to be. To proceed forward with that, we could do it in one of two ways. One, the Planning Commission has reviewed the comment, reviewed the documents, and the oral testimony. We could start with particular topics the Planning Commission would like to see addressed, or we can go through the list and handle anything that was not covered in this list that the Planning Commission wants to have discussed afterwards. It's entirely up to the Planning Commission on how they'd like to proceed. I'm going to turn my video off. It's going to be disconcerting for people.
Okay. So tonight we need to bring, the commissioners need to consider what is important from what they've heard testimony-wise and presentations and make sure that it's brought forward so that when we go into making our recommendations at the next meeting, it'll be there. So with that in mind, does anyone have a particular item they wish to bring up at this point, or would the commissioners like to just start with the matrix that we have in front of us?
Personally, I'd like to work through the matrix, and if it triggers anything that we recall from previous meetings that did not make it into the list, I think that going through the matrix first will either trigger reminders or feel complete at the end of.
Okay. So, with that, unless there's a disagreement among the commissioners, noting none, we will start with the matrix that we have right now. First item being on the Kitsap County Code, Title 16, Boundary Line Adjustments. Public comment was received that we should be delaying the Boundary Line Adjustment Code. There needs to be more public engagement and vetting properly. Consider a Boundary Line Amendment Purpose Statement and Task Force. We have a staff recommendation at this point of deferring the Boundary Line Code requirements to a future date. So we would leave that off the comprehensive plan update.
The issue of boundary line adjustments are real. There are some things that we are one of the few jurisdictions who do not have a review of boundary line adjustments. There are certain components of boundary line adjustments that can create problems down the road for future buyers of property. Properties that can be boundary lines that are moved around that take a buildable property or a legally created property and make it illegal. Something that oftentimes is not found until the end when someone comes in with a building permit and they find out that, no, that property is not a legal property. This happens largely in the rural areas. A number of properties are moved around. Sometimes it can just be a couple lots, and other times it can be dozens of lots that are kind of created into a subdivision format without going through subdivision code. All those issues, while being real, the solution that you have before you is not likely the absolute best outcome. It is released very late in the process. While a lot of it is largely related to current statute, we have a lot of very interested folks, such as the local surveying community, the local real estate community, all of which have participated in this but have not really focused on any change of this nature. To that end, Kitsap County would like to defer. This is not Kitsap County stating that we shouldn't have a discussion of boundary line adjustments, whether there should be just code like this or whether there should be a process. Obviously, if there's a process, you get flexibility. If there isn't a process and you go straight with code, you lose the flexibility, but you don't have to deal with a permit. So there is this interesting balancing act. Staff would recommend that we address this in 2025. Potentially as part of the year of the rural conversation.
Okay. Commissioner Shattuck.
Yeah, Eric, I appreciate the lead-in, but, boy, I think you take a look at the testimony that Bernie Kenworthy put in terms of a review of the 79 BLAs that were done in 2023 and the staff statement, hey, we're really doing this because, we're, you know, there's this horrible problem. her analysis matches up with my practice in 30 years of real estate law, and that's that this is a great way without an ordinance to solve problems without having to go to court, to allow neighborhoods to work together rather than be in the middle of lawsuits or held up in process for a year. So it's beyond just, I hear the county saying, well, we're not saying we don't need one. Boy, I would sure urge the county to take a hard look as whether we really do need to take this up in 2025.
So, yeah, I would agree with the deferment or the delay in the interest of having heard plenty of well-known from the industry side of things, from the private industry side at our last meeting, with a tone of, we got the language late, there's not been enough stakeholder input and work study, et cetera, before we start using language to be adopted. So I'm willing to accept and trust the professional private community that this should not be addressed at this time, and that I think we could only make a grave mistake by not offering the time that this should be allowed. So I'm in agreement with the delay. Whether or not it should be done at all, I don't have enough information yet, so I'm good with the delay.
Okay. Do we have any other comments? Commissioner Shattuck.
I just have one other quick thing, Eric, and that is the suggestion that we go ahead and adopt the change in the definitions of the BLA and building site. I think all the testimony had was focused on the elements of the 050G itself, and no one was really taking a look at the definition. I didn't look at it, and so I want to reserve. I'll take a look at it before our next meeting, but I want to make sure there's not something in there that kind of backhands does 050G.
Here we are. Actually, I kind of wanted to cover those two aspects. First of which would be a definition of building site. Building site means a physical portion of a real property upon which structures are or can be situated within one lot, and which portion of the lot satisfies the applicable zoning code standards for physical placement, lot coverage, construction of structures, critical areas, buffers, and setbacks, and all other location and dimensional requirements for structures as noted in Kitsap County Code. Yes, that is all one sentence. The long and short of what it's attempting to indicate is that a building site is a property that can be built upon. It is, again, going back to the concern of people buying pieces of property thinking they can build on them, and it turns out that they can't. Obviously, there are always going to be instances like that depending on regulation, but the purpose of this definition of building site is, as we move down to boundary line adjustment, this is a definition that has been in Title 16. Boundary line adjustment means an adjustment of boundary lines between two or more abutting platted or unplatted properties, or both, which does not create an additional lot, tract, parcel, site, or division, nor create any lot, tract, parcel, site, or division that does not meet the minimum requirements for width and area for a building site. So, again, the purpose being is that they are not creating lots that aren't buildable, and for a variety of reasons. Yes, Commissioner.
Again, I don't want to get in the weeds if the intent is a delay on the thought process and working through it, but if I own both lots and I want to move an interior lot line and I'm okay that the resulting lot isn't buildable and it's mine, whose problem is that? If I own them both and have the right to make the decision about the adjustment, and the adjustment meets all other laws?
Largely the concern would be not for you, but if you were to turn around and sell that piece of property in the future, or the person sells it a couple times down the road, people have the estimation that this is a buildable lot. They'll come in, they'll apply for permits, and that's when they will find out. That does happen. I actually have three of them currently in my own email box of situations where folks have purchased pieces of property. Not all of them would be resolved by any kind of boundary line adjustment ordinance, but it is a real problem that we are trying to assess by maintaining these two elements. But again,
But regardless of the purchase and sale, right? Because that's not DCD's job, right? If somebody should get sued for selling a non-buildable lot as a buildable lot, not DCD's job, right? I'm just questioning where the role is.
I think there is the expectation that the county, through its various processes, are looking to protect the public at certain times. People have different viewpoints on that, varying from nanny state to it's our job to protect the people who aren't necessarily able to protect themselves. The reality is somewhere probably in the middle. I entirely understand the point. This is a conversation that can be rolled into the other conversation.
And that would be my point, Eric, is we're looking at this whole thing in 2025 if you decide you want to do it. And this has the sense as we're trying to put substantive rule in a definition as opposed to waiting and let's address it in when you're doing 050G.
And if there's any truth to this adds another layer to the delay in getting a building permit, my answer is no.
Right. Okay. So we've thrashed out this, that really this needs to be put aside and gone thoroughly over when we have time to do this in the future. So I think it's agreed among the commissioners that this should be tabled until another time.
And that would be both G and the definitions, correct?
Correct.
Okay. That is what we will show. Again, we're not asking for the Planning Commission to make any motions or make any direction at this point outside of that you would like to see language like that put in the Planning Commission recommendation section of this matrix for your consideration on the 15th.
Okay.
I guess I should warn people before I do this. As I'm scrolling through, trying to get to each individual code. Everybody close their eyes until I tell them to open them again.
Now, I'm assuming that, well, that was the boundary line adjustments. We also have the land division location of recreation area. Public comment concerned with addition of adding centrally.
Yes. Just one moment. Let me get to it so you can see what we're talking about. Everyone close their eyes again. 440I. Not quite there. There we are. So the purpose of this part of the code is... Okay, come on now. 3C. The purpose of this code is as you're going through and you are platting properties that there is recreational or other types of open space included in projects of specific sizes. What this language is attempting to get at, everything you see there in black text is what's in the code today. Everything that is in the red underlined or strikeout text is what is being proposed to change. The idea is to include the word centrally so that folks are not putting open space in the hinterlands of the development, that the land is usable and by sidewalks and other various elements. When we first instilled this language almost 20 years ago now, we ended up with little pocket parks. They're in the back corner in between two fences really would no parent would send their kids to. So what we ended up doing is we ended up making sure that, okay, if we're going to have these types of recreational areas, they need to be available and walkable to everybody within the community. Thus, we are looking for them to be centrally located. Some of the language in here, while that is how we have been attempting to apply it, at times there can be disagreements between developers and staff and the public as to exactly where these areas should be located. This language is attempting to address that. Most recent public testimony was to remove the word centrally, basically allowing it to be located anywhere within the interior. Staff's concern with removing centrally is that it would create a situation where you could, again, put it, say it's a 100-acre, or not, that's a bad example, 40-acre property, and the open space is located all the way in the north end, and all the lots to the south end really have no access to it. The idea being is that these recreational areas are to be able to be utilized by everybody within realistic expectation. So staff recommends that centrally remain in the revised edits.
I don't see that the centrally location is necessary. If it's usable open space, if it's on the edge of the development, it's usable. I think the important part would be that it's accessible to all people that are enjoying, want to enjoy the space. So as long as it's accessible, it doesn't need to be central. That's my opinion.
So the discussion is that it be accessible and available to everyone. So my concern would be, are we also invoking the ADA on this? That now those central, or those areas need to be available to even the disabled people?
I think that's a given.
Yeah, I think largely we were looking for them to be located so that anyone within the development could walk to the facility, not have to drive to the facility. Usually these recreation areas don't have parking areas, and the folks around the outside of the recreation area don't necessarily want all their parking to be taken up. So with parents who are coming to utilize the swing set, et cetera. So that was one of the purposes of centrally. However, as this is a private property, ADA is not necessarily automatically required for all the facility, okay, for all the recreational facilities, especially because so many of the recreational amenities, some can be swing sets, slides, other things that really are not very easily made ADA accessible. So I think access is something that we are definitely trying to get to in this language, but I don't know if we're necessarily trying to get the full ADA accessibility, as there are so many different things that can be considered recreational open space.
Yeah, single-family housing plat does, if you go drive by any new one in the last 5 years, there's a playground lot, there is grass and wood chips and a boundary between the wood chips and the grass. None of that is ADA compliant. So as long as Mr. Baker's not concerned with the word accessible implying that, which I don't think here it does, it means reachable. I worry about the word centrally and the word interior, because those are subjective terms and they're not quantifiable, right? Is accessible 1,500 steps, or is it not driving, or is it what? There's just a lot of gray there, and that always makes me nervous because it gets subjective. I think the language is a little backwards on, it says sidewalks and surrounding the, is majority of scratched out?
Yes, majority of is scratched out.
So sidewalks, can you read that?
And it is affords good visibility of the tract from roads, sidewalks, and surrounding dwellings. I.e. don't stick it in the back corner where no one can see it and people aren't going to feel safe necessarily being there.
Okay. I'm okay with the word surrounding. I get concerned about even the word interior, right? That would imply that if there was a loop road and there were houses outside the road and inside the road, now you've told them it has to be in the inside circle somewhere. I think it's limiting.
So do we have a proposal on how this particular sentence should read? We've had opinions about centrally and interior and accessible. Commissioner Shadid.
I do see some value in centrally, not necessarily just for the concerns expressed by other commissioners. But one of the problems I've seen in HOAs I've worked with is you put this little recreational area in one corner. Basically, you've got three houses right there that use it, and then it goes downhill, and nobody's maintaining it.